scripture, because this is where it can be like, wow. Galatians 6:9. So let your heart, let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Let's say it one more time. So let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. I know it can get weary, but don't get weary in doing good, because I'm telling you right now, the harvest, it's full. And the reaping is amazing, because we've seen people get set free in that parking lot. We've seen people come to the Lord. There's people here today that have come from getting food. And we're so thankful that you're a part of this process of who God is in Remnant Church. We're grateful that you're here today. We've seen people get saved. We've had a handful of people get saved last week. And we're about to baptize, I think, maybe what, 17, 16 people in just a little bit. We're going to ready to baptize 16 people. Those next steps. Wow. So don't get tired of doing good, because I'm telling you, you're going to reap a harvest. The problem is I've had some people get tired doing good, and they've walked away when the harvest was right in front of them. The next step was the harvest. And then they get hurt and upset, and then you got to try to pull them back. Like, look, it was right here. Why'd you back? You ever seen that old thing where the guy's in the cave digging, and one guy gives up, the other guy's, it's the next strike, and all the diamonds are right there, all the gold's right there. Keep striking. I'm telling you, God is doing something amazing. Amazing. Let me do a recap real quick on this. January, first service, I think it was the 5th. Things haven't changed. It's our 9-year anniversary. And I want a recap of something that's still the same. I said this at the beginning of the year, before any pandemic, before anything that went down. I said, God has told us to go pro. We're going pro. Provision, we're going to be proactive, and we're going to protect it. God has given us provision. Listen, this is before we did any serving, any kind of extra vehicles, any kind of... That warehouse is 2 city blocks long inside. Like, I would have to just video and show you how big this place is. How many semis, how many trailers, how many... Yeah, it's crazy. Provision. The act of providing or supplying something for use. I said at the beginning of January, listen, we're living in the vision right now. I want you to realize this. God's going to give us provision. And look what he's doing right now. He's giving us provision. So I want you to know that, listen, we're just not up here just talking the talk. He's literally walking out what he is trying to tell us to say, and it's happening. And here's the crazy thing. Our provision has vision. What he's given us, there's vision for that, to do something. The provision he's given us has vision. What's the vision of it? For right there outside, it's to feed people, to see somebody get something taken care of, so they're taken care of. It's a tool, because in the salvation is the greatest gift and the greatest food anybody could eat. Our provision has vision. What's the vision? What's our provision? He provided that we had a parking lot. What's the vision of the provision? That we expand and add more people in that parking lot. It's already happened. So good. I just got to recap so you can understand it. Am I sweating? Oh, Jesus. It's not Corona, guys. It's just sweat, okay? Anybody cough and everybody freak out like at the store? Called allergies. It's weird. Being proactive. Listen, I love the definition of this. Causing something to happen rather than responding to it after it happens. Being proactive. When we answered the call from year 8 to 9, we said we were going to be proactive. At the beginning of the year, we're going to be proactive in what we do here at Remnant Church. We're going to answer the call when it's there. We're not going to show up later after it's done and act like we're going to answer the call. We're going to answer it right when it happens. And look what God's doing right now. See, the problem is some people want to show up in the end and act like they did something. And they didn't even answer the call. They just were like, well, that was a good idea. You have to answer the call. Listen, being proactive, even in your own giving, even in your own area of when you go to the store and when you're facing people, be proactive. Cause something to change. Change the atmosphere. If Christ dwells within you, change the atmosphere. Give. If you feel led to give to somebody that's homeless, do it. Don't get in your mind like, oh, they gonna go buy beer. Who cares if they buy beer? Uh-oh. Because it's more you're obedient to give than what they're gonna do with what you gave them. And I hope they don't go buy beer. I get it. But the point is are you just gonna be obedient? Proactive. We've been proactive. We talked about vision. How 2020 vision is just kind of like, just kind of good basic vision. It's the normal vision. And I know there's a scripture in the Bible that says he mounts us up on wings as eagles. If I'm mounted as wings as eagles, I want to have eagle vision. I want to see for miles. I want to see the vision that God wants us to do later also. And sometimes it doesn't make sense in the moment what we're doing because there's vision behind it. There's something that's going to happen later. Your part playing right now might be silly to you, but when the doors flood open, you're going to be busy. It might not make sense during quarantine to add a parking lot, but you got to see further than right now. It might not make sense to continue to do more to that or to build on or do whatever. You see what I'm saying? We have to have vision and provision. Though they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Man. And listen what we've been doing. We've been waiting on the Lord. How may I help you? How may I serve you today? They that wait upon the Lord, how can I serve you today? Feed my sheep. Oh, we're going to feed your sheep. We're going to feed them 60,000 pounds or something. How can we serve you today? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Man, I'm telling you, he renews it as you're in it. Jesus. And then the last part about going pro is protecting it, keeping it safe. Protecting the vision, protecting what God is doing. Listen, I'll just be real. There's people, there's haters everywhere. Anybody got haters in their life? I just want to make sure I'm in the right room with where we know where there's haters. Okay. We in a hater club? What I found out sometimes is when we give away stuff that I guess I'm going against the establishment. Because I don't ask for people's identification and their address and their EBT card and their stuff, their blood sample, their hair color. I just give it away because if Christ was going to stand right here in the physical, he was just going to give it away either. Anyway, I ain't got time to do all the paperwork. I'm just going to feed somebody hungry. We're going to feed them. So you get that pressure. You're not doing it the right way in the city. That's why God called us Remnant Church, because there's a remnant that's always going to rise up and continue to fight the cause. I don't care. I'm just going to feed people. It doesn't bother me. And you know what? What God has done? God has surrounded us with amazing people that are going to fight the cause. And I'm thankful for this church. This is a proactive church. I'm just telling you right now. No sitting on your butts trying to wait for the rapture. We're getting out there making a difference and say, God, hold on. I'm just yet. There's one more I got to get. There's one more. Hold on. Hold on. I know you're wanting to come. I know you're about to get on that horse, but there's just that one more. I got to reach him. Just let me try. One more. One more. And that's the heart of it. I'm ready for it. But I don't want to be just getting him when I'm just sitting there doing nothing. I want to be getting him in the middle of just getting somebody else for him. One thing that God is really laying on my heart is during this quarantine and all this stuff, and it's been like that anyway, is there's a lot of young adults. We got to reach those young adults, those college students. And this thing that just keeps digging in my heart is when they're away from home and they come to college and stuff, I want Remnant Church to be a home away from home. A home away from home. And so however that's going to look, I don't know what that's all about. But I know we're going to make stuff, and we're going to try to reach these young adults. We got a lot of young adults in our church that came out of our youth ministry. And we got colleges all over our city. But I want those college students, we're going to put it online. We're going to start doing some stuff. But I want them to know that Remnant Church is your home away from home. It's your safe place. It's your place that builds a community that will help you. You know how many college kids could come through that line and be fed for a long time? I was on Top Ramen Noodle. I know what it was all about in college. Top Ramen. Not just ramen noodle. It's Top Ramen. There is a difference. Add some seasoning. Some people get weird and put eggs in it and make egg drop soup. And eggs and hot dogs. See, you just lost my... I'm going to get into this scripture. You guys good? I just wanted to kind of... I want you to understand what's going on, what God's doing. Happy anniversary. This is year 9. You're a part of it. Amen? And maybe you're new and you're like, man, you guys are loud. We're excited. We're passionate about Jesus Christ. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to say preach it. It's okay to clap and celebrate when something happens. It's okay. I'm tired of all those times and all those years where they've just, be quiet, Josh. You're too much. You're getting a little radical, buddy. Calm down. I'm tired of it. I've been in it. I'm over it. It's time to get loud about who God is and what He's done. Can you believe it? It's time to get loud on social media and say, man, we just baptized 16 people, and it's amazing. We just celebrated 9 years, and it's amazing. We gave away 60,000 pounds of food in Terre Haute, and it's amazing. And listen, none of this is prideful. I'm telling you, everything we do has a purpose. It's pointing people to Jesus. That's the only purpose. If we're not pointing people to Jesus, we're shutting down what we're doing. Because that's not what we do. We point people to Jesus. And listen, you might not even feel like you add up to it. It's okay. God uses the craziest people to do some of the most craziest things. And so, like, if just let Him use you. Just be available. Let me read this scripture to you. And we're gonna get into this for a minute, and then we're gonna get ready to do the baptism. Isaiah 55, 1 through 5. Hey there. All who are thirsty, come to the water. Are you penniless? Come anyway. Buy and eat. Come buy your drinks, buy wine, buy milk, buy without money. Everything's free. Wow. Why do you spend money on junk food? Your hard-earned cash on cotton candy. I love how the message says this. Listen to me. Listen well. Eat only the best. Fill yourself with the finest. Pay attention. Come close now. Listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. I'm making a lasting covenant with you. Hit the brakes. Did you hear what I just said? God Himself is trying to make a lasting covenant just with you. With your kids, with your teenagers, with anybody you're associated. He's wanting to make it with you. Wow. The same I made with David. It's sure, solid, enduring love. I set him up as a witness to the nations. I made him a prince, a leader of the nations. And now I'm doing it to you. You all with me? I'm fired up. You'll summons nations you've never heard of, and nations who have never heard of you will come running to you because of me, your God, because the Holy of Israel has honored you. Listen to me. I love what's going on here. Look what's been going on here at this church. Are you thirsty? Come to the water. Are you penniless? Man, that quarantine messed a lot of people up. That virus put people unemployed, put people in a bad spot. It says, come anyway. What's the local church about? It's a light. It's a beacon. It's a place to gather together to come. I remember the mayor said at one time, we've got it all wrong. Everybody keeps coming to the government for help, but they should come to the church to get their help. come anyway. Come without money because everything is free. You know how many people have come to our church in our parking lot and asked the question, how much does it cost? Ask the question, what kind of identification do I need to bring? Ask the question of, you know, do I have to attend your church service to even get this food? Because you have to be a member to get food at some places, I guess. I said, no, sir, this is not Sam's Club. Why do you spend your hard-earned money on junk food? He says, listen to me and listen well. Eat the best and fill with only the finest. Pay attention. Come close now. Listen carefully. The life-giving, life-nourishing words. Let me tell you something. What God is trying to do, he's wanting to make a covenant with us. And it says the same that he did with David. So he's already given you the example of what he did with David. I set him up as a witness to the nations. What is God doing with Remnant Church? He's setting it up to be a witness to the community, to the nation, to the city. A leader to the nation. What's the Remnant Church? You know how many people say, man, Remnant Church, that's kind of like the city's church. That's the one everybody keeps going towards when there's something going on. That is a crazy statement because that comes with such a responsibility and it's such a weighty statement. But we will answer the call when needed. And he says, I'm doing it to you. He says, you'll summon nations you've never heard of and nations who've never heard of you will come running. Listen, guys, do you know how many different nationalities have come through our line that we don't even know of and been around? That they're coming anyway? And how love conquers everything. I want you to know that God wants to use you. I want you to know that God wants to do something incredible in your life. No matter what, I love this house. I love what God is doing. But I'm telling you right now, he is summoning. He is saying, I'm wanting to make a lasting commitment with you.
The Lord spoke to me and said, "This, there's a great invitation." And he told me that we need to go a chapter back before we get to chapter 55. So I'm going to go to Isaiah 54. And I'm going to read this in the message. Because what God's trying to do is he's trying to stir our hearts for the lost. Everything that's been said is a stirring for the lost. See, some of you don't know, but, and I say this very lowly, but me and Pop stopped at a bus of a young lady that's living in a bus that all the windows are broke out. There's no power. There's no water. There's no nothing. She's been homeless since she's 14. This just happened this week. Are you hearing? Can you hear that? Do you hear that burden? I knock on the door. I'm telling you, the thing is shattered. Glass shattered everywhere, hot. I open up the door, and I'm telling you, there's thousands of flies in that bus. The windows are broke out. It's 100 degrees. I'm giving you just this little bit. He's stirring our hearts for the lost. What Pastor Brandon said, come to the water. You with no money. You with money, come. And he's trying to tell us we need to get the people to the water. She stands in the middle of her bus. She doesn't come down. She doesn't have very much clothes on. Her hair's been all cut off. Now I'm going to get real. She's been prostituted out. Are you hearing me? That's in our city. I said, I know I needed to come to this door. She said, why am I crying? Why is my heart pounding? I said, that's the Spirit of God. That's the love of God. He wants to love you no matter what. No matter what you've been through, he wants to love you anyway. She runs down her stairs of that bus and holds me and cries. She said, can I call you mama? No. Tears started running down my face, running on the top of her head. I hadn't even got food for her yet. I just gave her him. Come on, somebody. So now I'm going to go a chapter back real quick. Clear lots of ground for your tents, Brandon. Make your tents large. You need to spread out. You got to think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. You're going to take over whole nations. Hey, God. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. And don't hold back, pro. You're not going to come up short. And God said, because of the death and resurrection, all the nations will be touched. Verse 1 in chapter 55 said, God said, who has no money, come. The second verse says, he talks to someone who has money. So he's talking to people who have no money, and then he talks to people that have money. So here we are with ones that have money, and they got their jobs, they got money, they're doing all these things, they're trying to catch a dollar, they got a new car, they got a new truck, they got a new thing, but they ain't got no water. They haven't come to the water, because even though they have all them things, they're still empty and they're not satisfied. Have you ever got to the place that no matter what you have, and you have a house and you have a car, but you're still empty and you're still not satisfied? So God's bringing an invitation to the ones that have no money and ones that have money. So he said in the chapter before, he said that to enlarge your tent, make room. You're not going to be embarrassed. So God was trying to say all this in the chapter before so it can prepare to say, you need to come to the water. Amen?
I think that I want to go back real quick. Go to 55 in the message and to the part where it speaks about. Go to the next scripture there, Christy. As we're going right here, it says, fill yourselves with only the finest. Pay attention. Come close now. Listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. And as we come in and we work on things, this one word spoke to me, the word nourishing. And because we've been feeding people and doing different things, and nourishment, when you get the right food and the right things that you need, you're nourished. And I was praying and asking God, what are you trying to say through this scripture? And one thing that happens is we all pray over different things. In our house, all of our kids will pray before they go to bed. They take turns praying for meals or different things that are going on. And they even pray to start the day. And I noticed something that Zion kept saying. And it was throwing me off at first. And I wanted to correct it, because not even when we were praying for food, he would start the day and he'd say, Dear Jesus, thank you for this day, and make it to the nourishment of our bodies. And he kept repeating that. And at first, I was just going to correct him and say, Bubba, we're not praying for food. At first, just me in the flesh. Like, I was like, maybe I need to teach him a little bit more how to pray. And God said, he already is praying. Do you know how to pray? And I was like, he said, Dear Jesus, thank you for this day, and make it to the nourishment of our bodies. And so it hit me when I read this scripture. And the word nourishment means to give people the substance they require to live, to grow or remain fit and healthy, to encourage or strengthen a feeling or idea, to help something to grow or to develop. And God spoke to me. He said, don't change or correct that, because what he's saying is that, God, make this day the ability that I can help give nourishment to others. Make this day the ability that I can help feed somebody through your nourishing words, through your nourishing love, whether it's handing out food, whether it's speaking love into somebody, whether it's giving a hug, whether it's stopping and giving extra money to somebody who needs it, no matter what it is. When Jesus is saying in this verse, it isn't just about come to the church, come to the building. He's talking about let people know that in you they can come to the waters. That all who are weary can come, that you are the vessel that holds the water of God, that you are the tavern that holds the grain, that when there is dry and weary land and there's quarantine and there's things that are going on and when the fields and the things have no more produce in it, that you have the produce in your life of Jesus Christ, that make this day the nourishment to our bodies, to the soul, to the spirit, that there is nourishment that God wants to give. And so I believe that God wants to challenge each of you today to ask you, when was the last time you asked him to make this day to the nourishment of your body? Not bless this food that I'm about to eat, but what are you filling your soul with every day? And are you the ability, do you have the ability and the capability in you to cause nourishment to ones who need it? Are they able to come to the waters, come to the place where it's weary and where they've been broken and come to that place and be able to see that they can be fed? Because that's the goal. That's the whole purpose of Remnant Church, is to feed people Jesus Christ. That's good, love. No matter what we do. So that just stuck with me, that it's life-giving, life-nourishing words. If we have nothing but the Word of God in us, we have everything to give and to offer. And His Word is what gives life, and His Word is what gives nourishment. And it brings healing to brokenness out there. And when you have His Word hidden in your heart, and you have His Word living inside of you, what happens is it's in your bones. And then what happens is no matter whether you say one word to somebody or not about Jesus Christ begins to flow out of your bones, out of your blood, out of your love that you're giving, because it's the essence of His presence that begins to overflow. So when you're feeding people, that's not that we're saying, you know, you need Jesus or this, but it's telling them Jesus loves you. Come to the waters. Come to the place. Make this day to the nourishment of our bodies.
I got to say real quick, and I don't even know if you know, and I haven't said anything to you yet, but on Friday, we were serving, and I'm telling you, we were working hard. And one of our youth was standing there bagging stuff up over and over and over, way back in the back, wasn't even by the cars, bagging over and over. And all of a sudden, she said, oh my goodness, I get it. I finally get it. And I'm like, I just stopped because we're busy. I said, what are you getting? What do you mean? She said, Pastor Joshua spoke about the five wise and the five foolish. And if you didn't have your oil, you would miss out when the bridegroom come. Because when the five foolish come up and say, hey, I need some of your oil. And they said, this time you can't have my oil. I said, well, what do you mean? What do you get? And she said, I'm pouring oil. I'm pouring oil. This is a youth on Friday that got the light that turned on and said, oh my goodness, I'm pouring oil. She wasn't standing in front of a car. She wasn't right in front of somebody. She was bagging food, and she knew that she had oil inside her and that it was pouring out of her. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to shout.
So good. See, listen, you will be, in some areas, the only Jesus that some people are going to see. So when you fill up with who He is, they're going to come and want to drink of what you have. And yes, it's awesome to fill the church and speak the gospel in all those areas of what we're doing. It's great and it's amazing. But I'm telling you, I can't be with you on Monday when you're at work full of who God is. Let it overflow. Let it give somebody a drink in the office. Let it overflow at the store, at the wherever, with your family, with your neighbor. That's the whole thing. That's what they're trying to say in this whole thing. Let Him fill you, and you turn around and let people that are hungry and thirsty, give them what you have. Let it happen. Let me read this real quick. It's not on there. I'm just going to read Matthew 28. Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all the authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He said, I've been given all the authority, and now I'm giving it to you.
Yeah.
What an amazing thing that God's trying to do here today.
Yeah.
We're going to continue to speak, and I need the people that are getting ready to get baptized. I need you to go down this hallway. There's two bathrooms with stalls. There are going to be some of our volunteers back there that are going to escort you to this room back here to get ready to get baptized. If you are getting baptized, I need you to go ahead and go up out of this room, switch out of your clothes, or however you're going to do it. If you feel compelled to get baptized and God's doing something in your life and you've been weighing it, go get baptized. We got towels. It's no big deal. I want to have Pastor Josh jump in this real quick while we're doing this. And I want to, before I have him jump in, I want to let you know something. I know like people have been asking about taking pictures and stuff. What we have, I've had Becky. Becky's here. She's in the back. She'll be coming up front soon. But she has a professional camera and all this stuff. We are going to take all the photos. We'll have somebody up here taking all these photos. We're going to put them on our Facebook page. And definitely go on there and take whatever you want. You know, take them all. There'll be great photos and stuff like that. We're going to just celebrate what God is doing, the next steps of getting baptized, the death, the burial, and resurrection of who God is in us now. Let's finish this off while they're going. We're going to tie this all together real quick.
Go to Isaiah 55 in the Amplified. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you have no money, come, buy grain and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Simply accept it as a gift from God. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread and your earnings for what does not satisfy? I want to stop right there. A couple of things came to mind to me, a couple of stories that happened in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One of them is found in Matthew chapter 19, verse 20 through 22. It is about a young man they call him the rich young ruler. And Jesus begins to talk to this young man, and he says this. He says, the young man said to him, actually, the young man comes up and he says, what do I have to do in order to have eternal life or to be saved or to even follow you? And Jesus says, you have to obey the commandments. And he says, well, I've done that. I've done all of this since my youth. So what am I still lacking? Look at this. The young man said to him, what am I still lacking? Jesus answered him, if you wish to be perfect, that is, have the spiritual maturity that accompanies godly character with no moral or ethical deficiencies, go and sell what you have and give the money to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me, becoming my disciple, believing and trusting in me, and walking the same path of life that I walk. Go to the next verse. It's powerful. You have it up there? But when the young man heard this, he left grieving and distressed, for he owned much property and had many possessions, which he treasured more than his relationship with God. I think what Isaiah 55 is really bringing out is this, is that it's for everybody. But some of us are drinking from the wrong things. Some of us are eating from the wrong things. This young man had the opportunity to be the 13th disciple. What Jesus was saying in that moment is drop your riches, because your riches can't satisfy your thirst and your hunger. But I'm standing in front of you, and I can give you everything you need of drink and water and food that will satisfy and quench everything you've got in your life. But in that moment, the young man got upset because Jesus said, listen, the only thing you lack is to give up the thing you worship. If you'll give up the thing that you worship and start drinking of me and start eating of me, then you'll truly be satisfied and you will know what life is really all about. But then there's another story in John chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. It's about a woman that comes to a well. Jesus is sitting there reclining up against the well, and this woman comes to get water. And I love this. Jesus said, if you knew about God's gift to eternal life and who it is that says, give me a drink, you would ask him, and instead he would give you living water that leads to eternal life. Go to verse 11. She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, no bucket and rope, and this well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" This woman comes up to draw water from the well, and Jesus looks at her and says, "Give me a drink." First and foremost, it was a Samaritan woman, so Jews and Samaritans had nothing to do with each other, and she knew that. She's like, "You're a Jew, and you're asking me for something to drink?" He looks at her and says, "But what you don't understand is the gift of God that's sitting right in front of you. I've got water that you can drink of that you don't need a bucket to scoop down in a well and get. I am the well. If you'll just ask me for a drink, I will give you a drink of something that will satisfy your soul, that will satisfy your life." And he goes deeper into a conversation with her, and he says, "Go get your husband." She says, "I don't have a husband." He said, "You're right. You've had five. Now the man that you're living with is only your boyfriend."
Bro, you know how many people would be offended if Jesus said that today to somebody?
Oh, man, it'd mess their world up. "You've had five, girl. Had five. What's wrong with you?" Right? But that's not what Jesus said. No. Jesus said, "Go get your husband." She said, "I don't have one." He said, "You're right. You've had five. Because you've been trying to get water from a well that will never satisfy. You're trying to find love in all of the wrong places. You're trying to find love through men that were only empty wells, and you were trying to dig that water out of them to be satisfied in this life. And the problem is, you will never be satisfied with a man." Listen, I love my wife. We've been married for 22 years, but I will never be the satisfaction that she needs. Only Jesus, the true well that carries the living water, will be the satisfaction she needs in this life.
Well, his love broke down the racial tension that was there. I mean, that was a deep-rooted... You know what the Samaritans were? I mean, I've said it a few times here. They were just basically, if a white girl married a black man and they had a baby, it was mixed. It was a mixed race. And the Jews didn't want nothing to do with that. And Jesus comes walking in there, didn't even care about that. He was caring about her soul. And so, like, racism, man, it's been going on for a long, long time. Like, to the fact that they would go around Samaria so they wouldn't even walk through the city. It was that bad.
What's beautiful about Isaiah 55, it's a picture of what Christ was getting ready to do on the cross. It all leads to salvation. I love this. "Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." What he's saying is, I'm getting ready to hang on this cross, and I am the living water you need to drink. There is no other water. What I'm getting ready to do on the cross is, I'm getting ready to give you something to eat that will quench that desire in you. What did he do with his disciples before he went to the cross? He sat at a table, and they drank and they ate. What did he say? "This is my blood." His blood that you're going to drink, what's that going to do? It's going to quench every thirst you could possibly have. Then he tears the bread and he gives them a piece of bread. What does he say? "This is my body that I'm offering up for you. If you eat this, you will be satisfied." And he goes to that cross. What we're reading in Isaiah 55 is the picture of what Christ did on the cross. Isaiah was just seeing the picture long before Christ ever came. He was prophetically speaking about what was coming. So what's sitting in front of you today? The opportunity for you to drink of a well that will never run dry. The opportunity to eat of a bread that will satisfy your soul. It's Jesus. That's the answer. There is no other answer. I've tried other breads. I've tried to drink other things. And when I say that, I'm talking about the world. I tried drugs. I tried alcohol. I tried sex. I tried all of those things to try to satisfy something within inside of me. But it wasn't until I ran into the real well and the real bread that I began to drink and taste of that my life began to be transformed and flipped upside down. I was never satisfied until I met him. Are you hearing me? You can try all the things that the world has to offer, but I'm telling you this, and I can tell you this with confidence, that you will never find anything thirst-quenching or satisfying to your soul until you run into Jesus Christ. That's a fact.
listen, we're getting ready to do this. And I want you guys to, if you don't have anywhere to go just yet, just celebrate with us when people get baptized. And it's that new life. He's transforming. But as we are transformed, like he's saying, he's wanting to fill us up. Sometimes we can get stagnant, and I don't get it. I've got like 3 Bibles here. I don't get how sometimes when we get into the Word of God that we just take it so loose. Like it needs to be as bad as I need this. You know what I mean? Like, I can't live without drinking water. I need to get in this. Now listen, don't get in it like you're going to get browbeat and disciplined and smacked on the head. Just get in the Word of God. Start reading it. I'm telling you, this is life. This is life. This is the book that has transcend everything. Anything and everything. He's wanting to use you. He wants you to get in His Word. Every answer you could possibly find or even question is all right here. It's in the Word. It's all right here. So what we're going to do, I hope that, was that good? Did you guys understand what we were talking about, where we're going with this, with Isaiah? Next week, we're going to get back into the last part of being blessed. And man, we got to just have Him in us. But see, here's, with that comes a responsibility. He fills us up. Don't get stingy. We were getting food. Kurt was with me. We were picking up food, and this guy just shows up out of nowhere. He's like, "You guys got any extra food?" You know, we could have said, "Yeah, no. I have an entire trailer full of food, okay?" I could have been like, "No, you know, just wait till tomorrow, and you can come over to Remnant Church, and we'll get you some food." What did we do? We gave him food. Don't wait. Don't wait and be like, "Well, I just got to wait for the right time, and we're going to have..." No, just take the opportunity. "Oh, here's some of this, here's some of that, here's some of this. And guess what? I gave you all this, but guess what's even greater? Come tomorrow, I'll give you even more." And continue. You see what I'm saying? God wants you to be a vessel that he can use. You're just a big old bottle of water. You need to help give somebody a drink. And they need it. And so whatever's in your life, you got to think, "Okay, God, help me so I can get more confident in this." People get so confused by this and get so scared by this. But it's so funny because sometimes we get so comfortable in all the other stuff we've got going on. Like, it's so easy for us to not read the Bible. It's so easy. And guess what kills us? Real quick. Time. Time kills us all the time. All the time. Make time for what's important. And I've always said this. You do what's important to you. You will make time for what you think is important to you. Make time for the Word of God. Make time for Him. And what I love about today, guess what you did? You made time to gather together, for the iron sharpens iron, and not forsaking the local church, and coming together, and made time to say, "You know, we're going to celebrate these that are getting ready to get baptized." So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get in a little bit of worship. They're going to be playing. I'm going to go back there. I just saw my mom open the door, and we're going to start baptizing people, and we're going to celebrate. We're going to shout it down, and we're going to just celebrate people making that next step to follow Christ. Why get baptized? Well, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. It's real simple. He told us in His Word what to do and how to do it. He gave us the authority. He said He had the authority. Now I give it to you. He tried to do that a long time ago in Genesis, where He says, "Look, Adam, you got all this. I'll give you the authority. Name this stuff. Take control. Do what you got to do." But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, had to come back on the scene and fix it all. And He re-gives us the authority. And here we are as the local church, just from that story to right now. All right, let's get going. You guys, you can sit, stand. We're going to...